We're here today to meet with our good friend Harley and his new spot in Emmaus. Let's check it out. So Harley, first of all, thank you for welcoming me in here today. Clearly, I needed somebody I trusted to go through this. This has been since COVID. And, you know, I was growing my hair out. And my wife, Crystal, who you know, said, it looks great. Keep it going. But now, a couple years later, it's just too much. So,
well, I mean, like I said, you do have great hair. So that makes my job a lot easier.
This is the first time I've ever had it this long, ever. I think the longest in my life prior to this was like right here. So I understand when people get weird about cutting off a good couple inches, but still.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it needs it though. You know, what happens is the ends get real thin and scraggly and gravity starts taking over. So, you know, all of that weight is weighing down all your layers. That's why it looks real flat through that zone. So we want to get it so that you have more movement going on through there. Overall lengthwise, probably looking somewhere right around here, just at the shoulders, slightly above perhaps.
Oh, man. So I've known you for a while, but I don't know if I know, like, your story. So let's go back to, you know, little Harley. How did you originally get interested? Like, when did you know, hey, this is something that I want to go into?
I'll tell you the thing I told everyone else. You know, I got into doing hair because I wasn't very good at doing anything else. you know, I always wanted to be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a very blue-collar family.
Okay.
You know, construction worker dad, stay-at-home mom.
Right.
My parents weren't ever, like, discouraging as far as being an artist goes. Well, how are you going to make money?
Sure. Valid.
You know, valid criticism for sure. You know, over the years, that kind of, I guess, dulled my desire to want to be the classic, you know, sitting there and
studio
drawing and painting in a studio. Yeah. But when it came time to pick a career, I still wanted to do something creative. I still wanted to do something with my hands.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I didn't want to be a construction worker like my dad. So, you know, this seemed to make sense. A lot of things came together to make this career seem to make sense for me. Not only being creative in the first place, but type of music I've been interested in since, you know, being a young adult. Always into punk rock, alternative fashion. And, you know, that certainly spurred me on to want to get into this career. The moment I decided to go to beauty school was based off a conversation that I had. I have an older brother who's a very successful guy, very driven dude. So when I sat down with my brother to talk to him about my future and what I should do, he pointed this career out to me and I said, well, I might as well give it a shot. And it's the best gamble I ever made.
Right? Isn't it weird sometimes, like, having someone look at you from the outside and say, hey, you know, I believe in you that you can do it. Why? Not that maybe you're not, but just like, why don't you? It gives you that confidence to be you know what? Why not?
This person's
got my back.
That's right. Yeah. I had thought about it before. It's not like it wasn't, you know, in my periphery at all.
Mm-hmm.
But something told me, you know, that it wasn't realistic or, you know, I'm not sure what that voice was.
Do you ever, let's be honest, do you ever, when you hear the word beauty school as a male, does that turn people off? I mean,
I think there was that this was also at a very different time.
I mean,
this was much earlier in the, you know, this was the mid 2000s. I don't think culturally we were exactly where we are today. So I, you know, and again, growing up in a blue collar family,
it's a valid thing.
Like, you know, hang ups about that. However, I will say that, despite coming from a blue-collar family, when I sat down with my dad and told him what I wanted to do, his reaction was 100% positive.
Is it almost like, hey, Dad, I have a plan, and this is my plan? And that was more of the, like, okay, now that I see your vision.
Yeah, I was worried it would be more of the same. Well, how are you going to make money? And I don't know about that and all that. And instead, when I sat down and told my parents what I wanted to do, it was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Nice.
We can see that. So, you know, perhaps some of my preconceived notions were wrong there. So,
And then you go to beauty school. Like, how does that kind of go? Where do you wind up after you graduate from there?
Well, while working, while in beauty school, I started working right away. Started working in a salon out in Easton, doing assisting and washing hair and sweeping hair and doing all that stuff. You know, so I was lucky because I did start to take clients pretty early on and get, you know, some hands-on experience.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in Easton for a few years. I moved around a little bit working here and there before I ultimately settled in Bethlehem for, you know, what was a 15-year run. You know, I was very fortunate. I was very fortunate to have a really good experience in beauty school.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody does, unfortunately.
Why is that? Like, just, I mean, it's like anything, I guess. And
beauty school is one of those things where, I mean, statistically speaking, a lot of people don't go on to use it. It's something a lot of people, I think they want to do it.
Sure.
And then once they're there, they realize that the reality of it is a little bit different than what they expect.
Yeah, I don't want to equate it perfectly to like a real estate license, but I would imagine it's somewhere in that neighborhood.
I would agree, actually.
Was, you know, there are people who use the hell out of it, and that's, you know, they can set up
people,
their family. And then, you know, there's some people who are like, this is, I kind of wanted to get it, and I don't know now.
That's right. A big part of it is that it's the realization that you're not going to make a lot of money right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it is.
Right.
You have to build a clientele. You have to build yourself up. You have to build your skill set up. And that takes time. I was lucky to do it when I did because I had backing. I had the support. I think today a lot about, you know, if things had been different, if I hadn't have had the backing, if I hadn't have had the support I had, would I have been able to do it? Would I have been able to stick out all the years that it took to get to a place where it's like, okay, I'm successful, I'm happy, everything's good. I think about young people today who are just getting into it and how much harder it might be for them to, you know, succeed in that. However, if your heart's in it, we'll figure out a way.
Yeah. It was fun. I mean, full disclosure, I met you when you were working in Bethlehem. My wife was at the same place you were at.
Best customer service person I've ever met in my life.
How about it? There you go, Crystal. That's
unbelievable.
Great. And we can say we're at Scandalo in South Bethlehem.
That's right.
And,
you
know, they're still going strong. So
Absolutely. Wish
them the best. And what I liked about that whole scene was, like, you guys were kind of like rock stars. Like, it was very much, well, I know it's funny, you roll your eyes, but it was a little bit of, you know, it was a little cultural there. It was a lot of, like, I remember doing stuff after work, and it was a lot of the cool people. And so it's fun to build that community, even if it is a little silly in a way, but it was important. And I think it's still resonating.
Hey, there's a reason I stayed there for 15 years.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed working there. I had a great relationship with my boss.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that our ethics and values lie very much in the same place. And again, there's a reason I was there for so long. It is a cool spot. And, you know, I might roll my eyes at being called a rock star.
Right, yeah,
but
right.
The truth is that, yes, working at a Scandalo did feel cool.
Yeah, it's fun. Especially, I think that was the first kind of hair place, I guess, you know, lack of a better term, where there is a cultural significance in terms of most people there kind of were in that same vibe, or at least they weren't worried just about, hey, let's go party. It's like, hey, there's this event going on that's raising money for something and so on.
Right.
And there was a lot of movement in that. Like, hey, let's move the party to where we can benefit people.
That's right.
Type thing. And I always thought that was neat.
That's right. I would very much like to keep that going here in my small space as well.
You know,
one thing I always enjoyed about, you know, working over there was the fact that we were so involved in the community. We invited artists into the space.
Yeah.
You know, we had different muralists come in and paint murals on the walls. And I'd like to do the same thing here. I would like to team up with local artists, clients of mine who are artists, people I know, and get their stuff in here on the walls every so often.
Sure.
You know,
this is where I'm going to drop in the episode. Your friend John Huey made you a really awesome clock, and I happen to know him, so I was like, "That's so neat." It's really cool the way that you've, you know, your space very much looks like how I would imagine Harley's space to be. How's it been so far? And, you know, how is, like, kind of the community?
It's been great. It's been great. First of all, the vast majority of my guests have followed me over from Bethlehem, which means the world to me. And I have also picked up new clients from in town, which is, you know, exactly what I wanted. I actually happen to live right down the street here from my little studio. And so just having more members of my local community come in, getting to know my neighbors a little better that way, it feels great. It's exactly what I wanted out of this space.
And did you pick Emmaus on purpose? Or like what how did you kind of wind up here?
I wound up here again because I live right up the street.
Yep.
So, this made sense. When I bought my house about 6 years ago, this space was actually open as a studio. It was called Accents Hair Studio. Okay.
You're just driving by waiting for them to move on.
Yeah, right. I was sending them letters in the mail. Unfortunately, when, you know, they moved off and sold the house, I mean, I would have loved to buy it at that time, but I just bought mine.
Right.
It wasn't in the cards. However, my landlord bought this house, and him and I established a great relationship right away. The way I knew that my landlord and I were meant to be, it was a couple years ago. We were trick-or-treating. I walked up to this house dressed as Snake Plissken.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, New York. I looked perfect. Okay, I looked perfect. And all night, no one knew who I was.
It's tough.
It was honestly pissing me off. I'm walking around and people are like, are you a pirate?
Like, oh, I'm a 30-year-old, 40-year-old movie. Come on.
Yeah, come on. How do you not know
this?
I literally just went to Emmaus Theater and watched it like the week before.
Yeah.
And I walk up to this house. I, you know, tell my kid, hey, let's get some candy from our neighbor. As soon as I walk up on the porch, Snake Plissken.
That's it.
That's how I knew.
That's funny. It is funny. You can connect on stuff like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching the entire La Femme Nikita TV show from 1997 to 2000. Do you remember that? It was on, like, USA Network. It was a blonde woman who was a... She was a secret agent, whatever.
But, yes, it rings a bell, but I can't say that I ever actually, like,
but exactly, you know,
made time
it's that thing. I'm like,
it.
I'm gonna be like somebody from this show for Halloween. But like some of that nostalgia stuff is just.
I couldn't believe no one knew Snake Plissken, though. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Having the Emmaus Theater there must be pretty nice.
Oh, it's great. I love going to the Emmaus Theater. I love Emmaus in general. Just a lot of awesome businesses in town, a lot of great restaurants. Oh, my favorite shop in the entire Lehigh Valley is here. Apport Used Books. In fact, I have a little satellite shop.
I saw that. That's
cool. Right. My first order of business before I opened was to go into Apport and let Ben know that I was opening my own business and that I would love to be able to sell a few books out of my business. And so far I have.
And
every time I sell a book, I'm like, all right, awesome.
Typical. Yeah. You want to make sure that you have community connections in here and that this space feels more than just what you... I always remember going in where my mom was getting her hair cut and the ladies had the things on their head. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's just like a different vibe in here, you know, a studio like this where you can interact with the community as well or just learn like I just did about a used bookshop down the street.
I'm always trying to let people know where to go and how to spend a little extra time in Emmaus. Go over to my next door neighbors actually own Switchback Pizza here in town. Super popular pizza joint where they make their own hard cider as well. Juxta Hub Art Gallery, really cool spot.
Man, 15 years seems like a long time, doesn't it? For you.
It does.
Have you noticed, besides some of the stuff we've talked about, some of the things that you've seen change from when you started to now? Is there anything like things that you notice?
Nowadays, it's all about specializing. Very similar to what I see happening in the tattoo world, in fact. The most popular artists, the most popular hairdressers, the most popular artists in general are people who are specializing in one particular thing. So rather than being a jack of all trades and doing everything, you know, you could focus on that. You could do everything well, or you could do one thing really well.
And when you look at yourself, how would you kind of put yourself in that?
I certainly advertise myself as a haircut specialist. Mm-hmm. I've done a ton of training, beyond beauty school and on my own to, earn that title. And it's important to let people know that that's what I do. If you're looking for, if you're having trouble getting a haircut you like, then mm-hmm. come see me. I may be able to help. And since I'm not focusing on doing color, doing chemical services, doing all these other things, I can really hone in on that one particular skill, which is giving the right haircut. And that's a huge thing to me. I think it's really important that people feel comfortable and safe mm-hmm. when they get their haircut. And I know that it can be a really challenging thing for a lot of people. People who are in the LGBTQ+ world, mm-hmm. Trans folks who just want a haircut. That's it. They just want a haircut. Right. It is the most basic of things. Right. And I don't understand how this becomes such an issue. So I'm very happy to be, the place that people can come and just to get a haircut, just feel comfortable.
How did you decide to start your own place rather than maybe go to another salon?
If this situation hadn't arose, I would very likely still be where I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This situation was just too perfect. I, as I mentioned before, I live up the street. I live within walking distance to here.
Even and that alone always been, is always just...
Yeah, that's always been really important.
It's like the Lehigh Valley, that where I grew up, everything was 20 minutes away. But if you have to drive 20 minutes, it's like the worst thing in the world.
I've always enjoyed still, being able to walk to work. Yeah. When I worked in Easton, I lived right up the street from the salon I worked at. Okay, yeah,
there are
right,
more
you're
people
right.
in my neighborhood, essentially, mm-hmm. than in my hometown. I love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like they're having a little bit of a... a renaissance when it comes to be honest, stuff like this. I think they have some like breweries. It's funny, they just put on a hardcore show on Main Street in Honesdale. My friend who's living up there shared it. I'm like, that's pretty rad.
Is Honesdale the what's the nickname for that town?
Honesdale is the birthplace of the American Railroad. I mean, if you're thinking of one, I could probably.
They have a Is it also called Maple City up there?
Oh yeah, it is actually.
I've done the Maple City Century ride before.
That's funny, yeah.
I've gone up there and rode my bike. Well, attempted to ride my bike for 100 miles. Didn't quite make it the year that I went up there. I grew up in Mahanoy City.
Which is that's pretty much the same.
Yeah. Where I'm from was called Mahanoy City. So
Mahanoy City,
different.
Is that the one where there's like no one left?
It's pretty rough up there.
Yeah, I've looked at Zillow on there.
It's near Centralia and whatnot, the town that's like pretty much burnt down and
those
all that.
Towns like that fascinate me because it's like they were built for a purpose and mm-hmm. that's why they had, they were vibrant.
My dad thought there was real potential there. He thought there was potential for that area to grow up and since it was so cheap, at some point, people move here and want to buy the property and all that.
Where Honesdale, I don't want to say got lucky, but kind of got lucky, is really the outdoors stuff mm-hmm. mixed with a nice, quaint downtown.
Yep. It is nice up there.
It's I don't want to say it's Jim Thorpe because it's not at that, but that's the kind of vibe you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like you go for a 100-mile bike ride and then you go get a beer on
Main
Street.
I was up there, there was a Thai restaurant there. That's my mark of like, if you're out in the sticks and there's like a Thai restaurant around, then it's going, it's getting there.
I watched a YouTube video about that. It's so funny about how, I don't remember, I was falling asleep, but it's about the Thai restaurants in America, kind of just similar to the Chinese restaurants, mm-hmm. but just talking about the trend.
Yep.
And it's true, yeah.
If you see a Thai restaurant or a pho place move in, your place is starting to, look up.
They have the hospital right there. That's the Wayne Memorial Hospital.
Okay.
And that's where I think, you have a lot of educated professionals who are working there. And mm-hmm. maybe they're commuting from Scranton, or maybe they say, hey.
I did that cycling thing up there, and they were super cool. A lot of really cool people up there.
I used to I was big into running in high school and college in Moravian, and then I just wanted to get drunk for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm getting back into being healthy. Like, I haven't drank in 2 years. And so I'm like, I want to run a 10K somewhere fun, but not too far. Was searching around and found Phoenixville, mm-hmm. where they filmed The Blob.
Yeah,
in 1958.
Blob Fest, right? Yeah.
And so the 10K coincided with the Blob Festival. I'm mm-hmm. like, and this is all, my wife loves this stuff. So I'm like, this is perfect. We went to Phoenixville, stayed overnight, ran the 10K. It was great. And the event itself is like a mile-long punk rock flea market.
That is cool.
It was so good that we're going an extra day next year.
Wow, okay. What are you washing your hair with right now?
Oh my God, you'd probably be embarrassed. Like, stuff.
Whatever.
From CVS.
Stuff. Yeah, okay, that's fine. That's fine. I love to get you set up with a little sample package, yeah. actually, of
the same stuff I use to wash my hair. It's the Hair Story product.
Sure, yeah.
It's actually Hair Story's kind of like their flagship product, which is something called New Wash.
All right.
New Wash is a cleansing conditioner. There's no soap involved.
Interesting.
No detergent. It's a detergent-free cleanser. It's absolutely going to wash, you know, clean your scalp and hair. A lot of people wonder, well, if it's a conditioner, how does it clean my hair? How does it get my scalp and hair clean? It's because rather than using soap or detergent, it's using this really awesome blend of oils and minerals. And the real secret, it's balancing the pH of your scalp and hair. And that's really what gives you like beautiful hair.
Just healthy.
That's the secret to healthy, yeah. beautiful hair. Both shampoo and conditioner, just whatever you're using, put it in a cabinet for now. Just use this stuff instead. See how you feel about your hair in like a week or so.
I mean, at least I'm not using Axe body spray.
Yep. Anyway. And really, that's where it should all start. Like, my preference is for you to be able to wash your hair using New Wash.
And then
that's it. Like, you know,
it.
And then just tossle it in place and let it
that
air dry.
That is ideal, yeah.
And that's what we're looking for.
I'm very much like this guy. And I guess part of why I brought up that show was the guy has a haircut. And it's just like this. And it's like perfect. It's like 90s, late 90s haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Or we were watching that movie. You won't remember. But The Net. With what's her name?
Oh, dude. Oh, my gosh.
The net.
Oh,
the net.
Man.
And Dennis Miller is in The
yeah,
Net.
Yeah, yeah.
And he
yeah.
has a haircut in The Net. That is, my wife was like, that's the haircut.
Moment of truth. Let's see what you look like when you're
all
not
right.
just a floating head in space here.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, look at that.
Harley, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
This has been, this is great. I'm so happy we took some time to like chill out and visit the space. And,
dude, I'm happy you came in. Thank you.
We did it. I think I look fantastic. We'll let my wife and daughter decide. But Harley, thank you so much. This has been great. It's been great hanging out with you.
It's great hanging out with you too, George.
Guys, come down to Hair by Harley. We're at, 203 Franklin Street?
That's right, 203 Franklin Street, Emmaus. You can check me out at hairbyharley.com.
All right. Guys, honestly, come in. Harley's great. I know a lot of you guys know him. And if you don't, come in, get a haircut here, hang out. Support local business. We'll see you next time.